scripture verses are from Psalm 116 and 117. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Pastor, do the introductions of the introductions?
Yes. Yeah, we're like dominoes today. We're all going to introduce each other. The last one has to preach. we love to plan and we try to be organized, but sometimes spontaneous happens. And that's what happened here recently. Just before I'm going to head off to my camping vacation, found out Brother Henry Mukanda could be with us. And I'm not sure how many years we've known each other. How many hours we spent together is not a lot, but spread out over a lot of years, you have become a very dear person to me. Your work, the people that you minister to, your dear son-in-law has been here too, Alan has been here. So I feel a dearness. Not all of you have met Henry yet, but first I'm going to have Mike introduce him, because Mike's the reason Henry has been able to come to this country and share and do the work he's doing in Zambia through Wild. And Mike and I go back a long time, and we have big gaps too, but nonetheless, we're brothers from another mother and kindred in heart for the work of missions and working with young people, and we are happy supporters of Christian Headwaters, Headwaters Christian Youth, and Wild. And I'll let you tell people what Wild means. Come on, Mike.
Good morning. It's good to be here. Some of you know who I am. Some of us have gone way back. It'll be 35 years this week that we started working with teenagers. And I told the board I'd give them 3 years. So I didn't know what a day was 1,000 years and 1,000 years was a day. I learned real fast. But my wife, Ann, and I are here. We've been working with many of you for many years, and we've had the opportunity to work with Headwaters Christian Youth, working with teenagers in different ways, different realms, every way you can imagine working with youth ministry. We have done that, been there, and continue. And my heart's desire is to find someone, that the Lord would raise up someone to take the ministry, to run it. I will stay. I'd be like the adjunct professor or the chancellor, having the contacts. And what we do right now, we work with Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA, and we have 3 huddles in the Rhinelander School District, of which I'm able to go into school at all levels, because I coach football, 8th grade football, and that's opened many, many doors of ministry Football is my best ministry opportunity I have with those church nuns, especially unchurched kids, boys. And being able to do things in the school district that I never dreamed that we would be allowed to, but because of developing relationships. And we have big events like lock-ins, and I keep telling the Lord that I think I've done enough penance so I don't have to do any more lock-ins. He has not heard my plea. Concerts to Bible quizzing to Bible clubs in some of the areas to just to mentoring, discipling, just a slew of different ways we get involved with youth ministry. And you as a church support HCY, of which very, very thankful. And you also support WILD, Wise Intentional Leadership Development. If you think of my personality, you just remember WILD. Yeah, and those of you who know me, yes. That's the irony. That's the God's humor right there. And this is, I'm going to switch. This is why we are doing what we're doing in this month of July. We have Henry, Pastor Henry, and Catherine Makonda from Zambia. Henry and I got to know each other 11 years ago under a tree. And honestly, he thought I was nuts, weird. It's an interesting story how God brought us together. And out of that has developed a close bond, a relationship, where he and I think alike. We're on the phone to each other and we'll finish each other's sentences, which is scary at times. And he has the heart to develop leadership, and that's what WILD is. It developed out of HCY. I direct both ministries, and it came out of working with young people, developing them, mentoring them, helping them understand what it means to be a spiritual leader. Just not a leader, but a spiritual leader. And the Lord opened doors to do ministry in Africa and now Asia and Nepal. And it keeps expanding, keeps growing. We have key people doing ministry as we talk right now in other parts of Africa. You think of the Sub-Sahara on South, and we've connected with about a dozen or so countries. And in about 9 of them, we have national teams. Because what I do, because I'm a white guy, I'm from the Western culture. When I go to Africa, I cannot teach my biases. I have to teach the word, but I look at scripture through the way I grew up, and I have to work at taking out the Western culture, which is not bad, but Western culture doesn't work in Eastern culture. The word of God does, scripture does. And allow them, the people we work with, to teach. We teach them, and then they go teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. And that's their goal. And what we've done is, like with Henry, he's a regional director. We go in a country, raise up a national team, and let them do the ministry. We come alongside them, providing resources. All our materials in English for obvious reasons. But over half the population of Africa is 25 and younger. And whoever captures the minds of the young people in Africa in these next years will run, control Africa. And the Muslims have a huge start on the chasing the minds of the young people, and let Henry expound if he does. And so that's what we do, some of the things, and just providing the resources that need to be and the direction, the vision. And the interesting thing is, you can paint the barn a different color, but it's the same barn, meaning the people are the same anywhere in the world. Different color skin, but they're just like you and me. I'll close my eyes sometimes in Africa and go, this is just like the situations we got back home. Same questions, same issues, same problems, same people issues. And so it's quite interesting to minister. A couple things, and then I'm going to turn it over. One is on the back table is a little flyer about WILD, if you'd like to take this. And you can learn a little bit more about WILD, and it has contact information. Also, I've learned, that's why they let me be director. If you'd like to be a part of WILD financially, we are looking for help. The thing that is slowing us down is the finances. And I know that's true, but we have no cash flow. This is a grassroots, bare bone ministry, and God has raised it up. But if you'd like to be a part of it, I have some ways you can be involved. Also, a week from Wednesday night, how many have ever eaten caterpillars or monkeys? Okay, we won't have that. But we will have an African meal. And Catherine is a extraordinary chef. I enjoy eating her food at her table when I go there. And we're going to have an African meal on the 20th of July at Foursquare. If any of you are interested, it's at 6 p.m. And Henry will be sharing about wild. And I'm going to pass this out because we want you to come. Experience. And again, it's
food that you probably, a little bit African flavor to it.
It won't be anything extravagant. There will be one or two things that you have not eaten before. But we will not serve you monkey. Or some other exotic elephant or something, a rhino. But consider coming for a good meal, good time together at Foursquare. And then the last thing, I know some of you are on this. What I have here is a sheet. If you would be, if you're interested in praying for Wild, if you have an email, I send out a weekly or almost weekly prayer email for Wild. What I need is your name, and then if you want to be on it, if you would clearly print your email address. In fact, if you put your email down, maybe afterwards you and I can connect real quick so I can interpret your writing, because email is not very forgiving as far as you're a letter off or a number off. But if you are not involved with Wild, prayer-wise, and would like to, just get signed up. Get praying for brothers and sisters throughout the world. And so, those are some of the things that we have, ways to get involved. And again, thank you for supporting Wild and HCY. You bless us. And it is my privilege, my brother, a guy that could easily run Wild from Zambia, literally. My brother, Pastor Henry Makonda. Henry, come on up.
He says he won't shake my hand. Good morning. It's a joy to be with all of you here, and I just want to share with you briefly about what Wild is doing, and thereafter we'll turn to God's word. I realize I know how to start, but I don't know how to end. So
if I, in this area.
Okay. My wife and I are honored to be here with you, and thank you, Mike, for inviting us to come. Pastor Alex, thank you very much for giving us another opportunity to be here. The last time I came, you didn't have this building. Thank you. You've done a good job. This is looking very nice. A big hand to yourselves. Thank you. Thank you, as church. Yeah. Wise Intentional Leadership Development in Zambia, we have a national team. Apparently, Wild began from Zambia. And those of you that don't know where Zambia is, connect with me after church. But Zambia is south of the equator, near Zimbabwe. Some of you have heard of Zimbabwe because you only hear of where bad things are happening. And South Africa, after South Africa, Zimbabwe, Zambia, then Congo. So we are right in the mid there. Wild began from there. And by word of mouth and sometimes emails, we've managed to contact all our neighboring countries. We have about 8 neighbors that surround our country. We have presence in 4 of those 8 countries, but word has gone around. We have a pending invitation in Angola. We have a pending invitation in Botswana. We have a pending invitation in Mozambique. So we have a presence in Zimbabwe, we have a presence in Malawi, we have a presence in Namibia, and also part of Congo. Congo is a big country. Our friends from Uganda are coming from Congo, from the north, coming into Congo, and then we are having invitations to go up. So we are coming from both ends. But briefly about Zambia, we hold youth camps. We also do leadership training. So the leadership trainings, we invite pastors and church leaders, and then we conduct seminars with them to teach them on how to become spiritual leaders. And then youth camps, we equally invite youths to come to our camps. When they come, we go through with them in the materials to do with leadership training and also worldview. Worldview is critical because most of our young people, as you know, in the world are influenced by what they see on TV and what they read. And by the way, even in Zambia, we have young people that have cell phones. And because of that, their worldview is seriously changing. And I'm sorry to say this, America has got a lot of alternatives. You go in a home, they will ask you, what drink do you want? When you say tea, they say, what type of tea? Even tea, there are choices. When you say milk, they'll say, what type of milk? We only know cow milk. But you have so many alternatives. But in that having so many alternatives, you may even make a mistake to have another savior, to have another alternative who can save you. But the scriptures tell us we have only one savior, and that savior is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we tell our young people, in as much as their worldview is changing, but let them not lose who Jesus Christ is and who God is. So that's what we do. I can go on and on, but I realize I need to preach. So can I preach?
No.
All right, thank you. But you can connect with us during the meal or after church service if you want to hear more about WILD. I'll be saying a bit in my sermon about WILD, but please turn with me to Philippians and chapter 1. I know that this is a Bible-believing church, and by your name, you are Northland Bible Church. I should have brought my notes to the front, but I didn't print them, so I brought the computer. So it's not a computer church, but a Bible church. I brought my Bible. All right. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. My focus will be verses 4 and 5 from the NIV. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have now to turn to your word. We thank you that we have read it. We pray that the Spirit of God himself, with the true teacher, may come through for us to direct us, to lead us, to open our understanding, and to grant me clarity to communicate this your word. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. From the opening verses, it appears like the author is very, very excited as he puts his pen to the paper to write this particular letter. This is so because of the way he opens. He mentions his name. He says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints. It's not easy to call somebody a saint if you're not excited about them. But he is excited. That's why some people call this letter as a joy letter, because he keeps repeating the word joy, joy. But the reason that I want us to look at this particular letter is, why is he excited? Why is he happy? Why is he calling them saints? Why does he go on to call them holy people of God? He says it in verse 4 and 5. He says he remembers them in their prayers, in his prayers. Most of us, as human beings, Mike has already said it, we are the same everywhere. It's just the color that changes. And because we're the same everywhere, we all remember very well bad things and not good things. Hello? We remember bad things most of the times. Some of you, even yesterday was my birthday, so I can talk about how old I am. Even at my age, I still remember when mom would pull the ear. Why? I'm supposed to remember good things about mom and dad and the rest, but I still remember, goodbye, sit down. Okay. We remember bad things, but the apostle Paul here has something exciting that he remembers the Philippian church about. And he says, each time I remember all of you in my prayers, it is because of your partnership. Other versions use because of your fellowship, because of your involvement, because of you being with me, standing with me, doing things together. This morning the pastor said, can you greet one another? And that was good to have fellowship. Unfortunately, some of you, maybe that's the only person you greet in a week. You wait for another Sunday to find somebody else to greet. But the Apostle Paul is telling us to say, when he was at Philippi, he had people that he fellowshipped with, people that participated in what he did, people that listened to him, and people that he listened to, and they did things together. And the world is slowly but sure missing out on fellowship because we are becoming very, very independent. Unfortunately, even in our country, that is already coming up. But let me quickly go through what he is talking about as far as partnership is concerned. Partnership has to do with participating together. There has to be something that can bring two people, three people, four people together to do something. And he calls them saints. He calls them saints in Christ Jesus. So the apostle has the common denominator, if you like. The common denominator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says you can come from every direction, but when I was at Philippi, the Lord Jesus Christ brought us together and we had fellowship together. We participated together. And he says from the first day. Wow. Pastor Alex has told you, we've known each other for a long time, but there have been gaps. Like I said, I didn't leave this building. There's been time since you had this building. But the apostle is saying from the first day to now, you have participated with me. And this participation has to do with how they have felt with him, how they have moved with him because of this Jesus that the Apostle Paul believes in and they believe in. We, dear friends, need to come to that point where we begin to say yes, regardless of our boundaries, our colors, our names, but we have one Jesus, the Savior of the world, who brings us together, and we must participate in that call that I have said we should respond to. Secondly, it is not just participating because of Christ Jesus, but it is working together because we know what we are working for. Look at verse 12. I want you to know, brothers, that what happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. In other words, the apostle is saying, yes, I could be in chains. I am arrested. But because of your partnership, we are working together. You who are outside and me who is in prison, there's still one cause to spread the gospel. Because the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel even when he was in prison. Think of it. Today, everywhere in the world, we have prison fellowship. It's people coming outside to go and minister to prisoners. But for the Apostle Paul, he is a prisoner ministering to people that are looking after prisoners. He has one goal, one way. Whether those that are outside or those that are in prison, he says, what happened to me to be arrested has worked out for the advancement of the gospel. Wherever we are, can we work out for the advancement of the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Whether we are in Africa, whether we are in America, whether wherever we are, can we advance the cause of the gospel? That's what partnership is all about. That's what fellowship is all about. We have one denominator, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have also one work to do and do it together and do it very well wherever we are based. I like what he says in chapter 2 and verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambitions or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each one should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Then he gives that big statement. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Wow. This is big, friends. This is serious. The Apostle Paul here is helping us. He says, I am in prison. You are out there. But I'm grateful that we are participating in the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are doing it together. As we do it together, what happens? We'll have like-mindedness. And you know, like-mindedness is not easy. Mike just said on the phone, sometimes when we speak, we finish each other's sentences. But like-mindedness is not easy. We may be a team, we may be together, but some people, their minds are scattered everywhere. And I don't know where your mind is. Maybe you're wondering, who is this African guy? Maybe you're saying, well, is he saying the truth or not? Let's wait and see. Maybe your mind is saying, Where is he heading to? Others, your minds are saying, yes, this is what we need. At least I've had two amens. Another one. But like-mindedness coming from where? The love that we have from God our Father. The connection that we have with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The fellowship that we have with other saints will have a like-mindedness. And the world is looking for like-mindedness. Because we all want to do our own things. You know, the issue to do with politics has to do with like-mindedness. That's why people go out to campaign, so that you think like the way they think. But for us, we have our Savior. We have the gospel. We have the work to be done. We must be like-minded. We should think the way the apostles were thinking. We should think the way the Lord Jesus Christ was thinking of others and not just about ourselves. And so the Apostle Paul is excited when he sees the Philippian church participate in what he is doing. And he says, I am excited and I would love others who have any encouragement from being united with Christ, others who are saved, to be like-mindedness, to have the same love, to be in one spirit. And friends, the world would be totally different from what it is if we were like-mindedness. If we were driven by the love that we have from God our Father. If we knew what fellowship was all about. Having one spirit and one purpose. I don't have enough time to go through the details of spirit and purpose. But you know what purpose does? Purpose drives you. We are wise, intentional leadership development. Our key word is intentional, purposeful, and it drives you. Where there's a will, there is a way. You married men, you know what I'm talking about. When you had the purpose to find your wife, you did everything possible to get closer to her so that she can accompany you somewhere. And then you say, will you marry me? And you got what you were scouting for. There was a purpose. I know the men won't say amen, but I know. I know. We do it everywhere. We begin by greeting them. How are you, my sister? Welcome. I remember your name. Are you? Did we go to the same? Then can I talk to you? These days, can I have your number? Then you know where you're going. But friends, if the world had Christians that had a purpose, had a desire, they'd be driven to do the work of God. And the Holy Spirit himself be there to encourage us, to spur us unto good works. Thirdly, it is to do with getting involved. I like the example that the Apostle Paul gives us in chapter 4, of somebody who gets involved in what the Apostle Paul does. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Like I said in my introductions, we need to come at a point where we begin to remember of good things. We always tend to remember bad things. But can we think of what is noble? Can we think of what is true? Can we think of what is right, what is pure? And he gives us an example of somebody who did that. Chapter 2 and verse 25. I think it is necessary to send back to you, I don't know how to pronounce that name in the American English, but in our Zambian English, it is Epaphroditus. My brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier. He calls this man as a brother. Pastor Alex said a brother from another mother, but this is a brother in the Lord, a fellow worker. Remember, this is an apostle called by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If you are to put them in hierarchy, the apostle Paul comes first before even the disciples who were apostles come in. But looks at this new man who has come from Philippi and calls him, this is my brother. This is my fellow worker. What did he do? He got involved in the work that the Apostle Paul was involved in, even when the Apostle was in prison. He volunteered to live a life of that of a prisoner to identify himself with the Apostle Paul. Thank you. It is to get involved. It is to be willing to say, can I be a part of what is going on? And he calls him a fellow soldier who was your messenger, who you sent to me to take care of my needs. Friends, if I showed you the events that are happening, or the situation that is happening in Africa, you'd have seen. But let me just quickly go through some of the things that can come on top of my head. In Africa today, we have 25 years and younger as the largest population. And these people, we have about 5 million of them graduating from universities, going into the world. And our son is among those people that graduated, but they have no jobs. They can go anywhere in the world and function, and they have gone out of Africa. Some of those people you hear on the news who have gone to swim across maybe a sea, Mediterranean Sea in particular, are not dumb people. They are intelligent young men and women who know if they step into Europe, they can still survive because they know the language. They have a trade. Because they don't have a job in Africa, they tend to cross the oceans. Some of them are carried in containers. They want to sell themselves as slaves because they know where they go, they'll make it. It's not just people that you think that are ignorant. They're intelligent people. But if more of these young people leave Africa, you know what? The Muslims are coming in to provide education, to provide jobs, and they're getting the younger people. What does this mean? They're not going to teach them the Bible, they'll teach them the Quran. Can can we be involved? Can we pray to the Lord? God, send more men and women to go and teach. Lord, can governments even change for the better so that there are jobs that can keep people in these countries? It takes people to pray when they know the need. And that's why I'm sharing this. The Apostle Paul is in chains. He's wondering what is happening, but he says, you have sent to me a fellow soldier. You have sent to me a co-worker. And this co-worker is coming back with a message to you so that you may know what is happening. Our friends, when they heard of what was happening with Apostle Paul, they got involved. They ministered to the Apostle Paul. Africa has over 2,000 different languages. Africa has got 54 different countries. And each border means something else. We crossed over from Zambia into Zimbabwe to go and do world work. When I crossed the border, people were greeting me in Shona. And I have no Shona. But they just looked at my skin and greeted me in Shona. For Mike, they were greeting him in English. I don't know why. But they greeted me in Shona, and I would turn back and, how come you don't understand our language? Just one border. If we crossed another border, something else. Another border, something else. It means also different types of governments. So you can imagine, how many states do you have here? 50? If each of these states had different languages, how would you survive? Because some of you know at least one or zero from English. Zero. If that is happening, what should we do? How should we respond? For example, how can we help those who are translating the Bible? How should we pray? That's why we're coming here, friends, to share with you what is happening in Africa, that we serve the same Lord, but by His grace, He's seeing us through. But let me quickly go through just what partnership does. What is the purpose of partnership? Partnership opens new doors to bigger and better services. Partnership in business is, if you have $50 and you have $50, you are struggling with your business, put your $50 together and come up with $100 so that you can run a better and bigger business. The churches generally are not seeing new people coming in, whether here or in Africa. Can we partner together so that we can slowly but sure have something big that we can work with? The reason I'm saying this is when we put our resources together, we'll have something big to think about. Northland Bible Church may be saying we're not having new converts. But when you partner with somebody else in Africa who has new areas of outreach, it will be credited to you. You are participating in reaching out to those people that you may not be able to see by the things that you do, by the prayers that you are praying, by participating. So that you don't feel like, what are we doing? What is happening? But God is reaching out, using you to other people. Because the Philippian church was excited when they got the report that even those in prison are getting saved. They said, wow, the gift that we sent has motivated the Apostle Paul to preach even in prison. Think of it, if they never had contact with the Apostle Paul would have felt so lonely and wondering, what did I do with those people that they don't think of me? But because they participated, there's something bigger and new doors opening for ministry. You never know. Your involvement with HCY and Wild has given you some comfort to say, we're participating in the outreach, in getting to other people. Secondly, it prepares you for the next level. Partnership prepares you for the next level. Because you now begin to say, okay, I'm now partner with somebody else. What does this mean? How do I work with this person? You begin to become each other's keeper. We begin to become accountable to one another because we are partners, because we are in this together. Think of a football team. I know what football is to you. It's that thing you carry and run with. But for us, football is what you use with your feet, soccer. Think of a football team. And in that football team, you are the only one against 11. You are the goalkeeper, you are the striker, you are the defender, you are the midfielder. Can you make it? You can't. But when you have others to play with you, you know where to pass the ball. You can rest a bit as a goalkeeper when the ball is on the other side. The strikers will know what to do when the ball is behind. Can we have a strategy by working together? What can the church do? That's why we have spiritual gifts. That we may work as a team and become accountable to one another. And finally, the purpose for partnership, it helps us to obey God. God raises people at different times in different areas for a purpose, to connect us to another person and to other, so that we can do the ministry of God. Those who partner with the apostles, those who partnered with the apostles, they obeyed God. And up to now, we still have the gospel of our Savior running because somebody obeyed and obeyed and obeyed. We must obey. We must partner so that the next generation will have the word of God. Did I say finally?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. In closing, what have we been talking about? We've been looking at the core to partner with other Christians in serving the Lord. And I said that the Apostle Paul was excited as he wrote this letter, encouraging the saints to continue to participate. In those verses we read, verse 4 and 5, we cannot remove verse 6 from that context. Verse 6 tells us that being confident of this, of what? The partnership, the involvement, that they are not going to do it alone. But God, who began a good work in them, is going to carry it on until the day of Christ Jesus. What a blessing, what a joy, that when that day comes, we are called into glory. The Lord will say, that work I began in you, you obeyed me, you partnered with me to this particular day. Come and enter into the kingdom of your Father. You may not know how to pronounce my last name, Mukonda. But God knows how to pronounce it. And he will say, Henry Mukonda, enter into the kingdom that was prepared. What a joy. What a blessing. Don't you want your name to be called on that day?
Amen.
But it begins with the Lord starting a good work in you.
Amen.
It begins by you obeying that good work in you. It begins by you partnering with somebody that good work can be done. Take a step of faith that the Lord is going to tell you. And begin that good work. And he'll surely do a good job in your life. And you'll be blessed. I told you already, I warned you. I don't know how to end. So if we go to the next hour, don't say I didn't warn you. But because of what I've said, I should stop here. That the Lord may work in you, may minister to you, may encourage you to identify what you should be involved in, what you should participate in, that you may not just be a Sunday listener to the word and not doing anything, but those that would do something. Pastor Alex, would you like to come and pray?
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you. So, he forgot from another mother.
Well, if we read our New Testaments properly, we know that every one of us has a job to do and that not any of us can do it alone. And God had a reason to throw us together. We might as well get used to it. We're going to spend eternity together. And he wants us to have a working relationship. You know, we can talk about how evil the internet is and how evil this is and that is, but the fact is we can do a lot of good today knowing what's going on in other parts of the world. To be this close to this brother, I think 100 years ago, God could have had us met, but the likelihood of a little church here, and we have ministered in Zambia. Pastor Alan Kusangami,
yes.
the roof they needed,
yes,
for the youth building, and we were able to help with that. And
excellent.
And this feeling of partnership, and that what we're doing isn't just for here. A little bit of Zambia ministers here, but a little bit of Northland's ministering there. So it's a great thing. And before I lead in prayer, I think the way we'll do it, if you want to give a special love offering, we're just going to give it to you. You decide what you need to do with it, brother. But there's a plate on a little table back there with his name on that table or podium. And if you wish to write a check, you can make it to Northland and designate in the memo for Henry Mukonda. Not hard to spell.
Yeah.
Alan's name is the one that took me three times. Kusangami.
Kasungami.
Oh, well. I needed to be corrected. But otherwise, cash or a check you can put to Henry M. And we're going to put that together and give that to you later here.
You.
So let's pray. Father, we're thanking you for the feeling that we can have today that we are not alone, and that we must not let our brothers and sisters feel alone either, but as members of the same body, to share in joy, in sorrow, in goals, in purpose, in labors. And I ask you, please, Lord, to bless what needs to be done in Zambia, what needs to be done here also in Wisconsin, Tomahawk, and that we would rejoice in a partnership, and that we would celebrate, Father, the fact that while we have many things about us that are different, we have so many things that you have brought in common through Christ.
Mm.
And give us joy and give us the ability to remember with love and affection brothers and sisters that we maybe will never physically meet in this life, but that you'd impress them upon our hearts, Lord, that we would pray and contribute in any ways that we can to the furtherance of the gospel. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.